Will you be analyzing the news coming up?
I think I should analyze the news coming up. Then would I be a news analyst?
Yeah, I'd be a news analyst. Yeah.
Am I your sports analyst then?
You're a doctor of sportsology.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, that's what you are.
Sportsology.
Dr. Kevin Most, an actual doctor, rejoins us. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, juice for infants. I didn't know this was a terrible idea.
Yeah, how about it? I mean, you know, you just picture in your mind a kid, and you almost picture him now holding a juice box or one of those juice bags in their hands, right? I mean, Abigail Grace probably runs around with them now.
Well, right? The squeegees, you know, the little squeegee food things.
Yeah. Yeah, the squeegee food things are good. So, the pureed fruits are very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, the juice box industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. The American Academy of Pediatrics finally, I think, put their foot down and said, you know what, we have to be more clear to this about parents, about what they should be doing, because kids are being given these juice boxes all the time. And you look at it and you're talking about bad things here. So a lot of these juice boxes are about 6 ounces, right? Some of them have up to 13, 20 grams of sugar in them.
How much sugar should we be having?
Oh, God, nowhere near that as far in that one setting. So you're talking about the chance of childhood obesity, which is now going over 20%, tooth decay. And probably the bigger thing is that kids learn habits between the age of 6 months and 2 years. And when you say, oh, the child's crying, give him a juice box. The child's this, give him a juice box. They're starting to learn habits of, when I get upset, I have something sweet. And, you know, we're talking about obesity in this country and the problems that we have.
Sure.
So the American Academy said, hey, you know what? No more. Zero fruit juices under the age of 6 months, maybe a little bit between 6 months and 1 year, but really even up to the age of 6 years, nothing more than 8 ounces in a day.
Doc, what about some of these juice-based snacks, though? Like my little guy could say, oh, well, let's have fruit. And it's actually those little, not gummy bears, but those little fruit snacks that they have from Welch's that are said to contain, you know, 100% juice or 80% juice. Are those just solid sugar, too?
A lot of them have a lot of sugar and artificial sweeteners in there. So really what we're trying to say is, go with natural fruits. Go with whole fruits. That's what, you know, for the child, instead of giving him a juice box, give him slices of apples, give him slices of oranges. And if you have to supplement liquids under the age of 6 months, it's milk or formula, breast milk or formula. After that, you know, you can start to add water as a supplement. And if you have somebody that you're concerned because they have diarrhea and you want to make sure you get their fluids back up, then the Pedialytes and the electrolytes to replenish. But staying away from juices and juice boxes is the biggest message that came out last week.
Johnny Walker Blue, a bad idea?
Yeah, that's a bad idea, really, at that age.
Yeah, I thought it might be. I just wanted to clear it up with you.
It takes, their balance is off a little.
What's the story out of Wisconsin?
So it's interesting, you know, the state of Wisconsin, the governor said, hey, you know what, I'm willing to extend Medicaid to people, but what I really want to do is I want to make sure that they're not abusing drugs. So you can look at it and say, well, that's really not right. But, you know, companies do it all the time, and I'm not saying that's that side of it. The thing I like about it from the governor's side is he says, if you don't have your drug screen, I'm not going to give you Medicaid benefits.
However, What's wrong with that?
If you do have a drug screen and you're positive, I'm going to put you in a treatment program.
Right.
So it's going to end up going through the courts, you know, saying that they're treating people unfairly. You can say it's a disability, but if it is a disability, then it should be one where you're coming forward and say, I have a disability and I need treatment. For the state of Wisconsin to do this, I personally think it's a good thing. I think you're going to end up with more people in treatment programs and hopefully get some people off of drugs.
I think it's a great idea. All right, and let's move on to – we can't do this justice in 3 minutes, but let's try it. The ACHA is Trump care. The ACA is Obamacare, for easiness of understanding.
Yep.
Is there a primary similarity or tie between the two, or is there no big difference at all? Where are we at with this?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, everyone was up in arms last week when the CBO came out and said how many people were not going to be covered and all the pre-existing condition issues. And, you know, I'm telling everybody who's asking me, I say, calm down. Don't worry about it this yet, because what comes out of the Senate is going to be totally different than what was put into their hands. So don't get all upset right now. If you want to get upset at Trump because of it or Paul Ryan, go ahead. But we're going to see something come out of this differently. Probably the biggest thing is the no individual mandate, no employer mandate. The subsidy is based on age instead of need, which is a big issue with a lot of people right now, and as it should be. And then the issue of pre-existing conditions. So people say, well, pre-existing conditions aren't covered. They're covered, but if you were off insurance for a period of time, you're going to pay a higher premium for a year to get back onto that insurance. What of those parts stick around? I'm not sure, but you and I have talked. The individual mandate, the employer mandate, you have to have healthy people paying into insurance products in order for it to work. The math just doesn't work without it.
Yeah, so that's why and you have to have the money. That's why the money doesn't lie, the math doesn't lie, because those are the things that don't change. The rest of it's politics.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I hate to say it, but the way this is going and keep pushing and pushing the way it's going, we may end up with a, you know, single-base, government-based insurance plan.
Right.
Years from now, we may be looking at England and Canada and saying, you know what, we're going to use the exact same thing that they're using.
Well, you know, and I use our friend Paul Coit from London as an example. Paul Coit separated his shoulder, I don't know, 5 years ago, and re-separated it 3 or 4 more times. Incredibly painful. And it had gotten so weak at the shoulder joint, at one point he was picking up a piece of trash from the front of his house and tossed it in a can, and his shoulder fell out of socket. It took 3 years. 3 years. And this is a guy who knows people. This is a guy who could probably call in some favors. But the single-payer system of England is such that he was in line for 3 years before he could have the surgery. So I don't know, Doc. I mean, is that what we want?
No, it's certainly not what we want. You know, and in Canada, the same stories. You know, the number of MRIs in Chicago probably take all of the number of MRIs in the entire, you know, country of Canada. So even something as simple as imaging to see what you've done to your shoulder can take a long period of time.
Doc, is there a nonpartisan place where someone can go and just get information about both plans, what's going to happen to them, or can you talk to your doctor about it? Because your doctor should be nonpartisan about it and say, hey, here's how much more you're going to pay. Here's how this is going to affect you, either positively or negatively.
Well, it's interesting you say that. We don't even know how much you're going to have to pay, because we just last week or 2 weeks ago, the number of insurance companies had to put in their RFPs to be in the state the marketplace. We don't even know what the premiums are yet. So it's difficult for us as physicians to have any idea of how much someone is going to have to pay, which is uncomfortable for the doctor as well as for the patient. And as far as nonpartisan places to go look for it, wow, that's a tough one, because everybody has their little twist and their little pull, or they're not putting it out there. So how is it going to fall and which way to go? I'm not really sure. It's going to be very interesting over these next, you know, year and a half to see where we fall.
Great information as always, Doc, and thanks for all of it. Hey, somebody just texted in, and it's not completely related to this, but what's the grapefruit thing? Grapefruit and medication, or grapefruit?
So it's interesting, and it's a good one, because so many people are on statin drugs right now. So if you're on a statin drug for cholesterol, you should stay away from grapefruit juices and grapefruit, because it can elevate those statins. So kudos to that caller, and shame on me for not mentioning it, because, you know, we say go to whole fruit, but if you're an adult on a statin drug, you should know no grapefruit juice, no grapefruit, just because the fruit itself can increase the level of statin drugs, which can cause muscle problems and other issues.
What about Johnny Walker Blue?
Johnny Walker Blue with a little grapefruit, it's a terrible drink, and
I don't even drink. What am I talking about? Dr. Kevin Most, again, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Can you imagine the thump that Northwestern Medicine has, and Northwestern Medicine can't pick up the phone and say, hey, Senator Durbin, we need a dollar figure here. Yeah. We need a hardcore statement. You know why? Because Durbin doesn't know.
No, they don't
Duckworth
know.
Duckworth doesn't know. Your congresspeople don't know.
No.
Yep.
So, and I guarantee it, Trump doesn't know. The list of the stuff he doesn't know. Thank you, Doc.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
All right, Steve Cochran. We're essentially, I'm the host of the show. And our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. Good God, man. Could you get one weekend where there's not a five-alarm fire that you got to go chase down? It's unbelievable.
That would make my job a lot less interesting, that's for sure.
Well, there is that. All right. We could start pretty much anywhere, but let's start with this. CNN reporting exclusively this morning, and it's been picked up by everybody, that there were some conversations caught, Russian to Russian, saying, we got people. We got people inside the Trump administration that could manipulate him. Fill in the details.
Essentially, yeah, a group of our best reporters collecting this information that essentially, you know, you laid it out pretty nicely there that, you know, the Russians felt that they had something on Donald Trump, something potentially damaging.
Financial, right?
That they could use. Yeah, financial in particular. And this kind of leads back to that dossier that was very controversial that was released during the campaign where there was some sort of indication that, you know, the Russians had the goods on Donald Trump and exactly what it was. Now, there were portions of that dossier that were discredited, but, you know, the intelligence community has largely believed that there, you know, there was some sort of influence that Russia felt that they had over Donald Trump. Now, whether or not that ever made it to the Trump campaign and whether or not as a result of that, that the Trump campaign or Donald Trump individually acted upon that or felt as though he needed to act upon that is not officially clear. And the other thing that it's important to keep in mind with all these Russian reports is that whenever you get something that comes from the Russian side of things, it could be them attempting to confuse and just throw chaos into the situation. And that's certainly the possibility here.
The idea being that they know we're listening, so maybe it's BS.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the overarching issue here remains that Russia continues to be this problem that Donald Trump has to deal with. And even though he's again tweeting this morning that it's all fake news and there's nothing to see here, turn away, you know, until there's some sort of, you know, in-depth investigation that bipartisan people feel comfortable with, he's never going to get out from underneath this.
Now, I've said forever that as long as this is going on, I said it's not the 2000s. You got to look at the 90s. The 90s, mm-hmm. when he was broke and nobody would lend him any money. And, you know, there's been a lot of reporting that says maybe he went just to Russia. Maybe the oligarchs of Russia who are under control of Putin, they're the ones that lend him the money. Maybe that's why he's on the hook. Maybe that's why he'll never say anything negative. Because it's interesting the way he responded to this or his people responded to this. And that is that, well, Trump, since 2000, has had almost no ties to anyone, to Russia or anyone else.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
It's the words are carefully placed. And in this case, I haven't heard anybody say, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, period. Well, you can check it all the way back. I've never had anything to do with Russia. So even though he's really bad at lying, he's not as bad at lying when it comes to figuring out this one. And again, it could all be fixed if he just said, investigate. I'm going to shut up until Robert Mueller's done with it.
Well, I mean, every aspect of this, Steve, is a perfect example of how, you know, we talk about the Russians trying to confuse and change the topic and make the situation difficult for people to understand. But the White House lends itself to that because they don't ever come out conclusively and say, no, this is not true, and here's the evidence to back up the claim that this is not true. Instead, they say, well, show us more, or you don't have anything that conclusively nails us on this. You know, the best example is with this situation with Jared Kushner, where he allegedly was attempting to set up a secret back channel.
It's a huge deal.
With the Russians, yeah. And you know, what did the White House do? The White House has yet, to this point, come out with some sort of definitive explanation for Kushner's role in this, whether it is to say, this is wrong, it didn't happen, or he did do it, but you need to understand the reason why.
Right.
They're not confirming or denying the report.
No, the normal human response is what Ryan's describing.
Yeah, right. And so instead, they're sending out administration officials to talk about the concept more broadly. Well, yes, of course, there have been back-channel communications with varieties of administrations and foreign powers, both allies and enemies. But in each one of those cases, there was an explanation and a reason and a purpose for it. You know, the one that a lot of conservatives keep bringing up is the Obama administration's back-channel communications with Iran before the nuclear agreement was reached. Now, in this particular case, though, we don't know what we don't know. And if there was some sort of, you know, explanation that has let us understand why someone who was at that time a private citizen with absolutely no foreign policy or government experience decided to go outside the transition, outside the State Department, outside the existing administration to have some sort of secret communication with the Russian government in a Russian diplomatic facility. Well, if there's a good reason for it, let us know what it is.
Well, you know, and Andrea deals with this all the time, too, when she's out covering these stories. And Ryan, you deal with this every day.
Yeah.
Just answer the damn question.
Right.
Answer the question that was asked. Don't give me some Wikipedia on something I didn't even bring up. Just
answer the question. Ryan, I'm sure you get that all the time, too. That was my question to you. I don't, maybe playing devil's advocate a little bit, I don't see a huge deal with our government having back channel communications with different entities, different countries, like you just specified. But what raises the question is, this isn't fake news. It's not a lie. If it happened, just address it. And why would Jared Kushner do it before he's even in?
And what are you hiding?
Right.
Why are you hiding? Exactly. And why do you have to go to Russia's house?
Right. Why lie?
I mean, it seems, if you just look at it on its face, and this is what happens when you don't have all the details, you have to fill in the gaps and try and analyze it without all the necessary information. But it seems as though at least Jared Kushner and Michael Flynn trusted the Russian government at that particular period of time more than they did the Obama administration. And, I mean, that can be the only rational explanation for why they attempted to do this. Now, there was some spin out over the weekend that perhaps, you know, Fox News has a report that it was because they specifically wanted to talk about some sort of Syrian intervention and the Obama administration wasn't necessarily interested in that. Well, if that's the case, then lay that out for us. Explain it to us.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's so much criticism of the media because people say that we don't get the Trump administration's side of the story enough and we don't provide their view of things. Well, in many of these cases, and I think this might be the perfect example, is we don't get their side of the story. We get some sort of other explanation that has absolutely nothing to do with this particular topic. It's like, for instance, when they constantly turn the conversation back to leaks every single time.
Right.
Well, why did this happen? Well, leaks, 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 leaks. Well, that's a separate issue. We're not saying that leaks are a good or bad thing, but whether or not the information was leaked has nothing to do with the substance of the information. Address the substance of the information, and then we'll deal with whether or not people are releasing classified information and they shouldn't be. Two completely different stories.
Just answer the question. It's just not that hard. And by the way, both parties do it, but here's what you can't do. You can't, if you're the president of the United States, go, well look, this is what the other guys did. This is what Obama did. This is what Bill Clinton did. This is what Bush did. They're not president.
Right.
You're the guy. These are accusations about you. And I'm telling you, if Ryan Nobles is coming after me saying you're in cahoots with Vladimir Putin and you are trying to take this country down, I'd defend it. I wouldn't stand up and go fake news, you big orange baby.
Right. And stop bringing up Hillary Clinton. By the way, funny commencement speech over the weekend, too, from Hillary.
She needs to wander back in the woods, though. Just we don't have enough time to deal with Trump.
She said that's where she's going.
Well, she should. She go back to her tree fort so we can finish this Trump thing. It's time for traffic, and I got to ask Ryan about two other things, because apparently Germany hates us now.